Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along Show.
Hello, and welcome to episode 211. Tonight's show is brought to you by Forced Entry. Sorry, Kenny.
What?
It'll make sense later.
Oh, I get it now.
It'll make sense later.
It took me a minute.
So, real quick update from me. Let's see. We're going to go from the least important to the most important, which is a quick update on the weight reduction that I had done 2.5 weeks ago. Things are going well, but slow, but well. So there's that. And then just in case you're not on Patreon Slack, something that will most likely be coming is another round of JRA t-shirts. That is going to happen in the not too distant future. I haven't looked too closely into minimums and whatnot, but really toying with the idea of also doing some hoodies as we are moving into the cooler temperatures. And what better in those cooler temperatures than a sweet new coffee mug to drink your coffee or tea or wine? I don't give a shit what you put in. You can shoot it with a shotgun after you buy it. It will not bother me. But
are you just saying wine because I had wine in a coffee mug yesterday?
I wasn't going to knock bust you out like that. I mean, I didn't call this show wine in a knockoff Yeti tumbler, but... You know.
Well, I got that little insulated mug for winning a fat bike race.
Well.
And, I mean, you're not going to put wine in a wine glass when you're doing fucking construction. You're going to put it in an insulated mug with a lid. So if you accidentally yeet it off your ladder or the windowsill in the room where you're working, then it doesn't spill everywhere.
Why are you drinking so much wine during construction?
I mean, it wasn't really much. It was like, I don't know. 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and I was working on my not square trapping shed, and I just wanted a glass of wine.
Like, I drank half a box.
I didn't drink half a box. I just had like,
The worst part is you know that little spout on the wine box. She's figured out how to get a camelback hose in there, and she was just wearing it in a backpack.
Shut up! I didn't do that.
That's all I got. If you want a cool carbon bike, hit me up. I'm done.
He's got on his notes of things to cover: mugs, shirts, ball update, fart. I don't know what that says.
It says Fat, Canyon, and Stumpy. Those are my 3 carbon bikes that I would like to sell.
Okay. Well, you should probably say what they are. So like some triathlete doesn't call and they're like, you got a carbon triathlete bike?
I have a carbon Otso Voitech Gen 1 with carbon wheels and level brakes. And GX drivetrain. I have my stump jumper with XX transmission and carbon wheels. I have my Canyon with DT wheels and XX everything.
So what bicycle does that leave you with?
I also have a steel Jaffy. That would leave me with 2 bikes. The dirt jump bike and the Crave drop bar bike.
And a Jaffy?
I'll sell that. I'll sell the Jaffy too. Oh. But everything is for sale, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't buy something else to replace it.
What do you want, or do you want nothing?
I want things that I know exist that I can't talk about, but they don't exist. The reality is I know all this isn't going to sell. So, like, if the Canyon sold, I would just ride my stump jumper, or vice versa. And then as the time closer to when cool things might come out, like Sea Otter, I would be looking to get rid of that and be ready to pounce on what comes out.
Sweet.
And you're never going to guess it because there are 3 bikes that I know of that I'm somewhat interested in, but I don't know enough details to know that I want one of them yet.
All right.
So
you've only told me about one of them.
I've told you about all of them.
I guess only one of them actually pertained to my interests, so that's the only one that stuck.
Well, sucks to suck.
Yeah, it does.
You paid that TISM tax. And
that's an ADHD tax.
You just forgot about it. So yeah, that's what I got going on. Someone else should start talking.
Kenny, you haven't done like a when you're king kind of rant, like, or no, like how to drive a fucking car. That's what
I think we're going to get a rant on not breaking into people's buildings and stealing their shit.
When you're driving a car, you shouldn't break it into someone's building. Is that how to drive a car?
This time, nobody drove a vehicle into one of our buildings.
Okay.
So that's good. But yeah, as far as I've been doing, I got nothing cool as far as personal stuff. Sorry.
All right. You going to talk about your late night wake-up call?
Yeah, luckily that one wasn't my wake-up call, which is nice. Usually it's my wake-up call. But anyway.
Like if the alarm goes off, you're the one that they call and they're like, hey, you know what's up?
Yeah, typically. But anyway, in this case, the manager of that store took care of that one, so that's good. But yeah, somebody broke into one of our stores and stole 6 bikes, all of which were $10,000 a piece-ish. So
they knew where they were going and what they were after.
I mean,
yeah, that's what I was
going to
ask. Was it luck, or was it just the 6 bikes closest to the door? Because you put the cool ones up front. You don't put rock hoppers.
Yeah,
in
I mean,
the
they
front.
Were basically fairly near to the front. So I think it was a maybe partial case slash it was a convenience thing. So, yeah, it's a bummer. I mean, it happens more than I would like. It's, yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, hopefully these guys are caught and prosecuted because, yeah, we're talking about.
Any idea if it's the same break-in, like, people as before?
No.
Oh, okay.
Now, there's a lot of stories there. The one at South Jordan, that was a huge amount of destruction to the building because they drove an F-350 through 2 doors and a wall and then stole 6 e-bikes. That one was $100,000+ in total. And
like for building repair and bike replacement?
No, our piece of it was probably...
Oh, okay.
Oh, gosh. Trying to remember the bills. They were big. I think just the Stanley sliding door and glass was $30,000. Because they were...
Yeah, that's what I was... When you said 100, I was like, that doesn't seem
they
right.
They were dually doors. Like 2 sets of electric sliding doors. And then you got to get new glass in all the panels. Like, yeah, people don't understand how much commercial stuff costs. It is insane. Also, it took them 3 months to fix it. Yeah, that was like getting on the list immediately. But everything has to get custom built. So, yeah, everything's a giant pain in the ass, basically. And everything is very expensive. But it was $30,000, $40,000 worth of damage to the building at that South Jordan one. And then another, I don't know, $20,000 to $30,000 in stolen product. Plus, he stole a $60,000 to $80,000 F-350 from a car dealership.
Oh, so, fuck. I didn't realize the vehicle was stolen,
oh, yeah.
too.
Yeah, you don't drive your own truck through a building. If you're stealing shit,
that's true. You just steal all of it.
Yeah, you steal everything.
And
I mean, if you get caught, you're going to jail no matter what. So
well,
might as well
it's
just...
funny that you bring that up.
Oh, God.
So at the end of the day, it turns out that they did nothing to this guy because the maybe leaving district attorney and then the new coming in district attorney decided that it was just not worth the trouble to prosecute this person. So they just walked.
Jesus Christ.
Isn't that cool?
God, politicians are fucking terrible people.
Isn't that fucking cool? So yeah, there's that.
God, there's just...
And the other part
well,
that...
Kenny, you just gotta learn how to pay off politicians like anyone else who wants to have anything done by politicians.
Yeah. The other piece that'll bum you out a little bit is if you read the comments that people put on those things, on both the South Jordan
they're
one
probably
and
like
this one.
Fuck cyclists.
No, there'll be stuff like, you know, just uninformed stuff. Like, why didn't you put GPS on every one of those bikes? It's like, are you fucking, like, you're just dumb. Like, what do you mean put GPS on them? That's not a fucking thing. People are just so
ignorant. They probably meant AirTags.
And then multiple people are like, oh, clearly that's insurance fraud. Are you fucking kidding me? By the way, we usually don't claim these things unless they're, like, approaching $100,000 because our rates would go up so high. People have absolutely no idea how the world works. You just like car insurance. If you claim some shit, and by the way, we pay out the fucking nose for insurance between blanket liability and actual all the buildings that we own. It is astronomical. And we basically never get to use
like you're,
it.
Yeah, like you would use it if like a building burnt down with everything
that
inside
is correct.
Of it.
Or like if
an earthquake.
The other thing when you talk about liability insurance,
it's for slip and fall, like one of our mechanics doesn't tighten a stem correctly, like that kind of stuff. That's what it covers.
Or I was going to say, like, Jimmy the crackhead steals an F-350 and is in a high speed chase with the cops and barrels through the front of the building, taking out a bunch of inventory and grievously harming a customer and an employee. Like, yeah.
So I think it just bums me out that people that are so ill-informed just comment on shit. And it just bums you out. Like, this is already a big hit. This is like somebody waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, dealing with all this shit, boarding up a window, filling out a zillion police reports, going through hours and hours of video footage, and then making the financial decision of do we report this to the insurance or not, and then talking with all the damn news companies, and they all want to do interviews. It's just such a giant pain in the ass. And then you have people comment like, that's clearly an insurance fraud. It's just infuriating. Like, people don't understand the amount of time and money that happens with this stuff. And then all of a sudden, yeah, it's basically just like some strange victim blaming, like we're idiots or whatever, or how dare you get broken into and get, you know, how dare your product be so expensive? Of course, people are going to steal it. Like, are you fucking kidding me? So
that's like if someone breaks into a jewelry store and just like, I don't know, grabs three Rolex, or I don't know, like more expensive than Rolex. I know there's fancier watches out there, like grabs $3 million watches and walks out like, oh, why didn't you put GPS tags on those?
Yep. And yeah, to answer your question, why don't we put GPS tags on stuff? Well, we sell 5,000 bikes a year. That's why. Like, come on, people. It's fine. It's the comment section. Never read the comment section. It's just frustrating.
We are the comment section.
It's just frustrating when you get kicked in the nuts and then that happens, right?
Really, Kenny? You're going to go there? Of all places, you're going to go there?
I didn't even pick up.
It truly wasn't even intentional. Like, as it was coming out of my mouth, it's just such
Kenny,
a...
If you had said, can we like I'll cut that out.
No.
And you say if you get kicked in the nut and
nope.
And then we'll just
there's no going back from that. I know where Kenny stands now. No solidarity with the uniballer over here.
The other day, Matt pulled his hoodie up over his head and put dark sunglasses on and he said, I'm the uniballer.
And then just walked out the door.
That's good stuff. Good stuff. So the moral of the story is, yeah, we got broken into and it sucks that it happens. We have 6 locations and we've got expensive shit and we get targeted and it kind of blows. Is there some more that we could do to mitigate some of that? Yeah, but we've gone through so many plans. So for example, let's throw some numbers out here. If you put in actual metal roll-up doors on all of our glass windows, it would cost probably around $100,000 to $200,000 per location to do that. Like, that's bananas.
Would that make your insurance less expensive?
Great question. It could a tiny bit. But again, yeah. The insurance company, I think we have had one claim from stolen goods pretty much in all the years. Everything else, we just eat because it's not worth doing an insurance claim because we know how much our rates are going to go up. So yeah, the flip side of that is we spend $500,000 at least just putting some doors up. And then also, what stops someone from mission impossibling through the fucking ceiling? Because that's happened twice. They just cut a damn hole.
Oh my God.
They cut a hole in your roof and rappel down like goddamn Mission Impossible.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right? So anyway.
I don't even think that happens in like Denver.
Yeah.
Which is like what I was thinking was like the bike thief capital of the world based on this really crazy shit that I've heard.
So the moral of the story is people suck and hopefully some people get caught and maybe we get some of our shit back. And it's also just frustrating from my standpoint because I spend my entire day trying to save our company money and doing intelligent buying and making sure everything is priced correctly. And like my job is to save the company money. Truly, that is my number one job. And then shit like this happens. And then, you know, some of the general public is basically like, you deserve it. And it's like, motherfuckers. It's just so tone deaf. It's unreal.
That's pretty much how people operate nowadays. Like, just, I'd say like 75 to 85% of the population is just like that.
Yeah.
Well, let's move forward because we have some things we want to talk about. And I don't want to have to squirm around in my chair too much because while I am, one other quick update on my side, which is insurance made me think of this. I got the bill for my surgery and I've hit my out-of-pocket max for the year. So thanks, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, for picking up that $21,000 bill for me. So in case you're wondering, when someone says I'd give my left nut for that, they mean I would spend $21,000 on that.
There you go.
So there you go.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
All right, Andrea?
Yeah, speaking of medical bills, I saw today I have a new one. I thought that all of my surgery stuff was all I'd gotten all the bills. I got the anesthesiologist bill, which I had already met.
Shit, I could get more bills, huh?
Yeah, you could.
But I'm out of pocket already.
I looked at it this morning, and it did. I don't know if it's fully updated, but it didn't really make sense why they would cover the entire amount. But I'm sure we'll figure it out in the coming weeks.
Maybe I'm not so excited. We should just edit that part out.
But no, I paid the anesthesiologist. I got that bill and paid it. And insurance covered a large portion of it because I had met my deductible. Got my doctor's bill. So like the out-of-pocket for a carpal tunnel surgery, like for the doctor, would have been like, it was like not as much as I thought it would be, like $1,300 or something, and insurance covered a large part of it. But then I got the bill from the hospital where the surgery was performed, and that is, my payment for that is $999. So, not quite out of the woods on the medical bills yet, but yeah, that's, I mean, luckily I was saving for that kind of thing, but it sucks when you think that you're in the clear and then you're not, but it's all right. But other than that, since I'm talking, I'll go. I've been doing some beaver trapping, and I actually caught a beaver, which was really cool. And it's weird because, well, like when I was setting traps out the first time, so I've like put traps out twice, like for, I don't know, like two or three nights each time. And the first time I didn't catch anything, but I found just floating down the creek a gigantic dead beaver. And it hadn't been dead for like long enough to be like really gross, but it was like a little too far gone to like salvage anything for human use. Like the hair was falling out of the pelt and it had a little bit of a smell to it. So like, you know, I'm not going to like eat it, but I did take it home and I got the castor glands, which is something you can use to make more bait to get animals in a trap. And I got the meat off of it to use for bobcat and fox trapping in a couple of months. So that was good. But then I actually did catch one the last time I put traps out. So that was an accomplishment for me because I've tried a lot and it's been difficult, but I did manage to get one and I'm pretty happy about that. We got some meat to eat and I got a little bit more for bait and yeah. And the pelt is absolutely, it's like the softest, warmest thing you could possibly touch. It's really amazing. And I understand that like the fur industry has some huge downsides, but I also understand the draw of it because, I mean, while I'm going to use this for personal projects, probably make some kind of like a hand warmer muff, something like that out of it, but I can understand why people want to wear it because it's fucking amazing. Like if you've never, don't knock it until you've actually like touched this and felt just how warm and awesome it feels. But anyway, that's like my, I don't know, weird tangent for the show. I've been working on my shed, which is difficult because nothing is square, but I'm getting through it. The finish line is in sight at this point. I have to do a little more insulating and paneling, but it's mostly finished right now. And Kenny, you said you hadn't done anything. So are we ready to move on?
Yeah, ready. Let's move on.
All right. We want to talk about some new shit. There's nothing that's like crazy.
Well, I have a segue here.
Okay.
So YT's UK assets are up for auction, including three taxidermy goat heads.
Wow. That is a gnarly looking one there that's on your screen.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird, even by my standards.
Yeah, we've got, it's so weird what they're selling and what is seeming, oh, I guess I didn't scroll, or I didn't go into the full thing. Yeah, and a goat head mask with broken horns, that's for sale, so.
That's really weird.
Yeah, it's a very, very odd thing. You should browse through those listings just because it's pretty silly. So, there's that. Let's see. Oh, I didn't look through this. So while someone else talks, Silka has their own TPU tubes coming out. They're supposed to be more heat resistant and more durable.
All right. I mean, I got like the Tubolito ones when they first came out, and just like pretty much like any other tube that sits in a pack for a long time, it can get a hole in it. And that's what happened to mine. Like I patched it once or twice and I think I tried to use one once and it had a hole and I had to use a regular tube and yeah. I mean, hopefully they've improved on it, but I don't really see much of an advantage over a regular tube other than it's just really light.
Yeah, and one really cool thing is they've done some stuff. So I listened to the Ask Josh Anything podcast on the Marginal Gains podcast has a special subset of episodes called Ask Josh Anything, Josh Portner of Silka, and I only listened to the Ask Josh Anythings, and apparently all TPU tubes fail from pump use, like just taking your pump on and off stresses out that little thing, So they've improved that a little bit too. And each tube includes a prep wipe and a self-adhesive patch. So I think that's a pretty big ups for Silka. Right now, it looks like we don't have any mountain bike sizes yet, just road and
gravel.
Road, longer road, and no, I guess that would be mountain. 700 by 64. That would fit in a mountain bike. So there you go. Then someone else should talk about something else while I try to.
Oh, I've got a question here for Kenny. I saw on Bike Rumor they have an article about Richfield, Utah, and how it's like a new mountain bike destination. Have you been there before? It says 3 hours south of Salt Lake City.
Yeah, so that's pretty near where I moto a lot of the times. If you look in that top picture, I've been in like where it has the Spinal Tap little sign. I've been in a bunch of those mountains over there. So yeah, I have not ridden these trails on the mountain bike yet. It's on my list of things to do. So yeah.
Is that like a nice place to go when it's cold other places?
Ooh, this is going to be a little bit higher up. I think this is not going to be a great winter destination.
All right.
That's my educated guess. I don't know enough about it. So, yeah. But yeah, very, very cool. Utah's got a lot of really neat shit. Don't come out here.
Man.
Nah, you can visit. You're not allowed to move out here, though. And if you move out here, you need to do something about the traffic. So if you move out here and, I don't know, build a road or something, we'll call it even.
Or better yet, move out there and start a new like public transit so that there are just fewer cars on the roads that already exist.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. That's a whole nother debate.
I'm sorry. Like, the downfall of society is just getting to me a little more than usual right now.
So, I don't think mass transit.
Dude, can you imagine how bad
mass transit is not the answer, in my opinion. I think cities are terrible. I don't like big cities. And so, yeah, maybe transit's the only solution there, but I like suburbia. I'm non-apologetic about it. I like my space. And with space, you need cars. And so you can kind of only have so many people with open space before it turns into another fucking city.
That's true.
I was going to say, do you know how bad mass transit in Utah would smell when all the white Mormon chicks were spilling their dirty soda everywhere?
What are you talking about?
Dirty soda, like, because they don't drink coffee in Utah because they're Mormon. They drink dirty soda, which is like flavored sodas that they add milk to.
Oh, that's fucking weird.
I know.
The sugar industry in Utah is out of control. So donuts, cookies, and all the specialty drink places take place of alcohol and coffee.
That's weird.
It's really weird.
I don't know. I don't know why I think stuff like that is weird when I hauled a 50-pound beaver out of a creek and chopped it up to use for bait. You know, that's pretty normal to me.
I wish that someone
had been there to see me doing that, because it had to be comical, because there's like, I don't know, a foot and a half to 2 feet between like the water level and the bank where I hauled it up to like where my truck was. And I don't know, like, I wish someone had seen it just so they could laugh at me, because I was just wet and smelly and like dragging a beaver up a bank. It was probably pretty funny, if not just a little horrifying, but more funny than anything.
Okay. Do we want to talk about these Wirt STW titanium cranks just to make fun of them?
Yeah, I hadn't looked at that yet. I pulled it up, but I had
They're just titanium cranks. They don't excite me. They're really...
What's the spindle size, 30?
29.
Well, that's nice that you can use like a good bottom bracket with them at least.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use that with a dub bottom bracket.
I'm surprised they're not being sued by Rotor. They look like rotor cranks.
But rotors are 30, right?
Well, but
the crank arms.
The appearance of them is extremely...
It is similar.
It's like Rotor said, yeah, you can use it, but like copy my homework, but change it a little bit. And then they made 15 3-pound cranks. That's British sterling pounds, not weight of them. And yeah, if the backside of my $1,500 crank set looked like that, I would immediately throw it in the trash.
Oh. I mean, it's drilled for
that
weight reduction. Yeah, there you go.
All those machine marks where they didn't take a finished fly cut and like pretty that up?
Of course.
Fuck that shit. Fuck that shit. Curtis from Cutting Edge Engineering is rolling over in his grave right now.
He's not even dead. He found a grave to lay down in and roll over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's...
I don't know. I mean, I think it's good that they made them not 30 mil spindle.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, but also, they could have just not made them.
Then they wouldn't have made that money.
All right. Does anybody else want to bag on them with me, or am I just kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care either way. I think 29 mil is nice. It says that it's an 8-bolt interface, but I'm clearly seeing 3 bolts in the picture.
Because you don't need to run... I'm assuming that because they're going for weights, you only need to run all 8 bolts when you're running a power meter for the precision of the power meter. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those are definitely the 8-bolt sized bolts, and I can see other bolt holes in that picture.
What do you do with what do you do with the holes?
It looks. I bet they have a 4th bolt in there, and they've just skipped a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you just fill them with dirt. I mean, or you just don't, because I think, you know, like a lot of people who get these are never going to actually get them
dirty.
You
should never have an open hole on your bike. It will be immediately filled with dirt.
Matt's giggling. You made Matt giggle.
Yeah, I figured as much.
So you're saying before you go ride, you plug all your holes, Kenny?
I would.
Yeah, you could put like a little bit of, I don't know, like RTV in there or something.
I would plug all your holes for safety.
Speaking of plugging holes, my dad was working on his golf cart and he was like, yeah, dude.
Why does your dad have a golf cart?
Don't ask questions.
Look, if you all don't know Johnny, it's not the type of man you would see on the golf course. And I'm not saying that as an insult. I mean, I'm not the type of person you'd see on a golf course either.
If my dad was on a golf course, he would be, like, frogging in the ponds.
Yeah, like, you'd see him, like, putting out beaver traps on a golf course.
100%. So, he patched the gas tank. It's got a plastic tank on it, and it had a little hole rubbed in it by the exhaust.
A golf cart had an exhaust?
Yeah, golf carts
are... I thought they were electric.
Now they're 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah, they...
I thought they were all electric.
I mean, a lot of them are, but a heck of a lot of them are gas.
Yeah. So,
has it ever been rolled?
Not yet.
Okay.
It hasn't. I've never driven it, though.
Okay.
I have rolled a golf cart, not this golf cart.
All right.
So, anyways, not by the exhaust, sorry, by the heat shield of the exhaust. It had rubbed through the top of the plastic tank, and he was doing some other stuff to it, and he had the tank off, so he patched it with hot glue. Because he's like, ah, just whatever. And then he drove it a little bit, and he was like, damn, I can smell gas leaking again, or, like, gas fumes again. And, yeah, he was like, and as soon as I, like, bent down and, like, started, like, staring at it, I was like, you dumbass. You can't put hot glue near exhaust.
Son, it don't work like that.
Exactly. No, but it don't work like that.
Okay.
And for those of you that don't know, I once asked my dad, can't we put grease and Loctite on it so it'll stay stuck but then loosen when we want it to? And he very kindly said, bud, it don't work like that. So
we need to have Johnny on the show sometime.
Nah.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Well, last thing that I have queued up is the Freedom Coast 90-degree pod holder.
All right. Tell us about it. I'm reading about a tire to see if I actually want to tell our listeners about it.
It is something that is just absolutely begging to get some ergonomics into that stupid pod controller.
So, I saw this, but maybe I didn't see enough pictures of it. I don't understand what the use case is.
Well, the Pi controller just feels weird in your hand, so...
Well, and it's kind of like a long reach to it, too. Like, I don't know, it's always looked kind of weird, and anytime I've ridden a bike with one on it, it seems like the person who set the bike up was just trying to do their best.
Yeah, I've never... had a pod controller and been like, man, that's dialed.
Yeah.
I always just take it off.
Anytime I've used one, I've always been like, I would get used to it, but it is a little bit weird.
Okay, I'm seeing the pictures now. I guess the little, maybe it was an Instagram post or something that I saw that did not have it hooked up, and that's why I didn't know exactly what they were going for.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense if you just want to move your thumb left and right instead of up and down.
My God, that first picture. Look how far away that brake is from that grip.
I know. That's what I'm really... And look how that Magura clamp won't fit under there.
Yeah.
I think there's still some shortcomings. I think it should have been longer in the sense that, like, giving you more space between the pod and the bar in order to get your brake lever closer to the grip.
Or maybe if that little bit, instead of being a fixed 90 degree, it was, like, you could rotate it between like 90 and I don't know.
I think actually the right answer is somewhere in between. I think you're right, Andrea. If it would just, if they added 10 degrees to that, so instead it's 80 degrees instead of 90 or something, I think that would be pretty dialed.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm. You'd want it to be 100 degrees.
Also, look how...
Just adjustable angle.
Look how far, it doesn't look like because of the clearance that we're bringing up, I don't think you could run the clamp on the inside of your brake lever like you can oftentimes do with shifters. In fact,
that's what
most of the time do with shifters. So like, look at the, I'm looking at the picture with the gold one with the Maven silver, gold clamp, Maven silver. And
that's black.
Holy, yeah, fuck, that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, like that clamp is up against, like the 90 degree part holding the pod for our listeners is up against the clamp of the grip.
Well, not only
on
that, it's got
like,
my
it's
little pet peeve
just...
where I don't want anything more than 10 millimeters beyond the lock on of my grip. And this thing's pushing more than that with that much space in between the brake lever and the grip. So, I mean, neat idea, I guess, but probably needs some tweaking.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably an improvement, but I don't think it's perfect. It's a step in the right direction, but it still needs work.
Nothing is as bad as a new matchmaker. I know that makes Matt really angry, but I hate all matchmaker stuff equally.
At least the matchmaker hasn't changed.
We've been over that.
We went to extreme.
And that is great. And it has changed. There's like the newest version of it for the new pods and stuff is a new thing, but it's fairly backwards compatible.
The brake is the fucking same thing, Ken.
Yes, that's correct.
With Shimano, every fucking brake is different.
I agree. That's dumb.
So that's what I'm happy about with it.
SRAM has the least objectionable matchmaker, but that doesn't make me sleep well at night.
All right. So, I'm not going to talk about this tire because they don't actually give
weights. By the way,
when
I'm really rich, I'm just going to go into random bike shops with a pocket full of discrete clamps, and I'm just going to start taking those off of bikes on the floor, and I'm just going to put discrete clamps on them. And when an employee slash owner comes over to me, asks me what the fuck I'm doing to their bikes, I'm just going to say, don't worry about it. I'm covering the costs, and I'm going to take these out. And I'm going to float them down a river on fire. Give them a Viking funeral.
All right. Well, this tire is just like a file tread race cross-country tire in 29 by 2.4. And they don't really give weights on
690.
It. 690. That's decent. Seems like a good balance between light and probably won't flat if you hit a pedal.
I mean, how much does an Aspen weigh? That's what we really need to know. That's the tire. This is, I mean, an Aspen weighs 710. I'll take 20 more grams to keep a non-Pirelli tire on my bike.
All right. Well, we have a bunch of listener questions.
Let's do them.
If you guys don't have other stuff you want to talk about.
I do. I've got one.
All right.
I don't understand why this is even a thing or why it's featured, or hopefully this money goes to like homeless people or something. I don't really understand it. I'm just doing a quick high-level reading of it. But the Spur Cycle Titanium Key Clip, that is $60.
Oh, yeah. I saw that and didn't open it.
Am I missing something? It's literally Amazon Key Clip.
Well, hear me out. So, and of course, it'll open bottles. That's what we need. We need it. It'll. I'm sure you can open a bottle with it.
It doesn't maybe even come with a key ring? Like, you have to supply your own key ring?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't
understand what the point of it is. It's a key clip. It's an Amazon key clip.
It is. Let me see if I can find the one that I previously bought. Here we go. The Rainspire key ring, keychain, key rings, key chain holder, clip key, organizer, key chain ring for men and women, 3-pack silver. I got a pack of these for $6.98 delivered to my front door. They are three of them with a key ring, and they are considerably better. Kenny, I'm going to send you a link really quick as soon as I can.
Well, I mean, sure, I've seen fucking key rings before.
No,
I just don't understand why this is even...
The thing is...
Why is this on a bike website even?
I understand that this is a different form factor, slightly, but I want you to like look at what I just sent you and tell me what does this do that the one that we're talking about doesn't do.
Well, you know, typically, let me explain key clips here slash carabiners.
one end, your fucking keys
go on, and the other end goes on your fucking belt or hangs on a goddamn hook. That's it. Period. That's what they do. I don't understand. Anyway, I guess we're giving this thing press, so I guess congratulations. But
I think that the idea with that and with what Matt has purchased is that you can have like that on your key ring with your keys. You can hang it on a clip, but you can also, because it has a little like open close, like easy to remove thing, if you have something like keys for your work that you may not want to carry with you all of the time, you can easily...
No, the SpurCycle one doesn't do that. The SpurCycle one, you're supposed to ham fist your fucking key ring through the other hole in the other end.
Well, yeah, but then you could put your work keys on the clip part.
Then when you clip them on your belt, you would drop your work keys.
Let me give everybody some life advice here. Buy a fucking carabiner. Done. Any carabiner. A China carabiner, an actual baller like Black Diamond one that does some type of kill a Newton situation. Jesus Christ, buy a carabiner and put your fucking keys on it.
I'm going to give you one reason that what I just sent over is a little bit nicer.
Oh, so you're defending not the SpurCycle. You're defending your Hong Dong key done good ring for men?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it.
And women.
And women. And women. I'm sorry.
You can add or subtract keys from this carabiner, like separate rings from this, right? You follow me?
Sure, yeah.
At my height, in a ton of vehicles, like cars, smaller trucks, you know, mini trucks and cars, a traditional carabiner, if I have two key rings on it, when the keys are hanging from the ignition, you know, I got a stack height problem, and they rub on my knee while I'm driving. So,
gotcha.
The SpurCycle one doesn't solve anything except taking 59 of your American dollars and putting it in their pocket.
It lightens your wallet. All right, I think we should move on from key clips. Oh, I do want to say, like, I had a not totally random purchase. Since I've been doing some construction and some things where I want to wear gloves, I just started running low on nitrile gloves. And I usually buy the ones from Harbor Freight, Hardy brand. They come in different thicknesses, which is nice because you can get the cheaper ones for like quick stuff and stuff that's not too like rugged. And then you can also buy like some thicker ones that, you know, a little more expensive, but they last a long time. I found on Amazon for like $100, I got 800 gloves.
See, that's the risk, though. I love experimenting with shit on Amazon. You know, same would go for Temu or Alibaba if I had the bandwidth to do those as well. But when they come with that quantity, you've always got to, like, you kind of want to try them before you commit to that.
You know, I read the reviews and it was like free return. So if I opened the box and like they were total shit, I could actually, and you know, like reviews, people don't always just leave a good review, but if something sucks, they will absolutely leave a bad review. And these were pretty like, they're like, yeah, I use these in my automotive shop. And people who actually work in these gloves like said that they liked them. So I took a chance and I got them today in a big box. And yeah, I've got 800 gloves that fit my hand and that are reasonably thick, and they cost about the same as the thinner ones from Harbor Freight.
Is it 800 in one box?
No, it's like 10 boxes of 80 gloves.
See, that's disappointing to me. So like when I buy...
I like that because now I can put one in my truck.
When I get fast food nuggets in bulk, I'm always really disappointed. If you go somewhere and they have like a 50 piece and they give you 5-10 pieces, I feel like I'm a little bit ripped off. Like it's not a special enough occasion.
You don't get the experience of getting like a KFC bucket just brimmed with fucking nuggets.
Yeah. Like you will never see me more proud than walking out of a Chick-fil-A with one of those like morning platters or whatever they're called.
Just for yourself.
A party platter. I mean, sometimes for myself, sometimes for other people. That's something I would do. So as I'm in the bike shop stealing their matchmakers and putting on discrete clamps on all their bikes, I would courteously leave a party platter of Chick-fil-A nuggets to try to like subdue the situation because some people are going to be upset.
Be like, look, take this platter. I'm going to do some stuff to your bikes. It's going to be fine.
Dude, you can get a 200 nugget party platter.
I know. And it's like a special thing. It comes on a special tray. It's like a big deal. You got to like order them.
How much does that bitch cost?
You got to order them in advance. Sometimes you can only get them at a certain times. It's like a big deal getting one of those things. So that's why I'm coming back to this glove situation. If it was a very special 800 pack, I would just feel more special.
They just pop out of the top like a tissue dispenser. No,
we should get going on listener questions.
Yeah, no, I just thought that was...
I'm just not very comfortable right now.
All right. listener questions. This is from, well, the email, like the name given with the email, like the form entry from our website is Matt, and the email subject line is form entry from Jake, so I'm not really sure which.
It's from Majake.
Majake.
Majake it.
Maybe it's from fake Jake. So here we go. When do you think the O-Chain will be more widely available and potentially lower cost now that SRAM owns them? I've been holding out on buying one in hopes the cost would come down.
I've been told some things. I don't know if I'm allowed to say them or not.
Probably not. Because I haven't even been told things yet, but I would assume the price won't change a lot. I would just say that service in the U.S. is going to get a lot easier because my buddy ordered some stuff to service his O-Chain V2 or whatever the current one is. And when it arrived, he had to pay a bunch more in taxes and stuff.
Well, if I get in trouble, I'll say some things. If I get in trouble for O-Chain stuff, then I guess so be it. But and this is not going to be nothing groundbreaking, so don't worry. My understanding, because I asked a few questions, it's basically going to be business as usual for a while. And of course, down the line, eventually, they will tweak things and do, you know, put their SRAM flavor on things.
Well, I'm sure they kind of have to like test it out and look for stuff they want to change also.
But I think it's going to be I was told probably no major changes for a while. So you're probably safe to like get one. But is it going to be instantly half price next week? No, I don't think so. So moral of the story is if you're O-Chain curious, you should probably get one.
Okay. Do it.
Do you think I'll get in trouble for that?
No, not at all. That was very...
I was trying to be vague. Diplomatic and vague.
Like, helpful, but vague.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, hear us out, folks. Like, the last World Cup already happened. Like, my point being, I think if they were going to make a big deal out of it, and they were going to bring O-Chain to the U.S. this year, they would have launched it at, like, Lake Placid or something. Right?
Yeah, maybe they'll launch it at Sea Otter. I'm saying that in jest, and if that is actually accurate, I'm sorry that to whoever from SRAM is listening, but that's just the next thing that's happening where people are going to release shit.
Oh, do companies release stuff at Sea Otter?
They do.
Crazy.
All right. Next question is from Brad. Brad says, I am doing what I always should have done and going from a 130-150 trail bike to a cross-country 100/120-ish bike this year. This will be a frame-up build, but I'm not against buying a complete bike and stripping parts. I'm requiring 2 water bottles. I do chunky Midwest XC riding with a trip out west each year. I have some bigger rides planned this year that a trail bike is going to be a bad time on. Is there anything to consider beyond the Epic 8? I know the Chisel is the right answer, but you know, it's not cool.
No, I disagree. The Chisel's really cool.
This will be my first mainstream bike in a while, but with brands suffering so much, I'm a little scared to buy from offbeat brands and get left without support. This is like the opposite question of what our listener had last week, where he rode cross-country bikes and was looking for something a little more plush.
I like the Chisel a lot. I was really hoping for a resurgence of nice, high-quality, super hydroformed, high-tech aluminum bikes. I think there's a really, really good place for those. Carbon's neat. Carbon's been hashed out. Carbon's ultimately stronger and lighter and all the things if done correctly. But it's pretty much always going to be more expensive. So if you can get 90% of the performance out of aluminum, why wouldn't you want to do that? And I kind of think the Chisel is cool. I think if you do a neat build on a Chisel bike, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like a real bougie, like high-end. Get some of those cranks that we were shooting on.
Yeah. Yeah. All the money that you were going to spend in doing the carbon one, you could get a Chisel and some titanium cranks.
I have another carbon story. I'm just going to keep, you know, interjecting with my own stories here. Sometime when I was hunting back in September, I fell down with my bow. My bow goes on the back of my pack, and I've got this really cool holder. It's really easy and quick to, like, get it off of the pack. With just like one buckle you can reach. And it's a really nice holder, and it's got, you know, like a protective kind of a sling that the bow sits in that protects like the important, like the cam part. It's actually something you could damage if you banged it on a rock or something. Well, sometime during September, I fell down like pretty fucking hard. I don't remember exactly how. I just remember that it hurt. Like I got bruised up. But also my bow hit the ground, like the part that wasn't protected by the little sling. And I looked at it and I was like, ooh, that kind of dented one of the limbs on it. And I took it to the shop to get some new strings put on. And it turns out that's a little like crack in the carbon limb of my compound bow. And the shop guy was like, you know, you just keep an eye on it. Just look at it. Whenever you shoot, just look at it and make sure that doesn't get any bigger. He's like, it might. As soon as it starts to get bigger, you need to replace it. And I'm like, so if it fails, it's going to be like bad, right? Like you could get injured. And he's like, yeah, but it might not ever. And as long as you watch it, I'm like, dude, just go ahead and order the new limbs, man. Just, I'm not going to fuck with that. Because, I mean, a compound bow sits under tension all of the time. So it's, I don't think it's really worth it. It's just a really small spot. I've shot at some after that happened and nothing bad happened. But, you know, I feel like it's just like a crack in a carbon frame bike. Like it might just never change, be fine, or it might break and hurt you. So I'm not going to take that chance because it's something that's right by my face when I'm shooting and I don't want that to happen. So yeah, ordered some new limbs. But back to this bike, Brad, if you ride an extra large, I think Matt might have a bike for sale that you'd be interested in.
I don't, because my Canyon is a 100-100 bike. So if you want a 100-100 bike, I got you covered. And if you're, it's a large, actually.
I thought it was an extra large.
Nope, it's a large.
Okay. There you go. It's a Canyon Lux, right?
Lux World Cup.
All right, Brad, get in touch with us if you want a large Canyon Lux. It's been ridden like once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, next question from Eric. Super Boost can be put into an industrial-sized bag of dicks and be launched into space to live for eternity as space junk. I've avoided Super Boost like the plague for obvious reasons. I've also managed to keep nothing but DT350s on my entire fleet of bikes from road, gravel, mountain bikes, and bropeds. So color me surprised when my love for DT350s and my hatred for Super Boost would collide. Long story short, my wife wanted a new moped, so we headed to our trusty LBS, shout out to the Path in Tustin. My wife tried all of the current e-bikes and came away in love with the Pivot Shuttle SL/AM. This would be the part to share. I'm not only not a Super Boost fan, but also not a Pivot fan. But I'm not about to mansplain to my wife why she should choose a different bike/brand. That's good. I digress. This bike has DT Swiss H1900 spline wheels on it. Not terrible, but also not great. I'm not going to read that part. It's just numbers and stuff. So I say to myself, self, we're going to relace this mofucka with her reserve hoops. That is, right up until I find that it is literally impossible to get information for this hub from DT Swiss. Not only do they not really have their wheel set hub info available, but they basically act like Super Boost doesn't exist on their website. In a way, I respect that. The best way to handle something that shouldn't exist is to ignore it, and don't give it the pleasure of your acknowledgement. Looking at you, Mango Mussolini, but for fuck's sakes, can I please just get a fucking website that has information on the things you make? Not some of the things, all of the things. So now I'm going to have to unlace this wheel, which I will do like a toddler at a drunk Disneyland with a bolt cutter because reasons. And then measure this stupid piece of Super Boost Elon baby dick shit, then order spokes based off of that. Is this 1995? How do we have AI running the government and I cannot get some goddamn hub dimensions information any other way other than a ruler? Okay, rant over. I'll clean Kenny's 350 with a toothbrush, skin Andrea's next kill with a spoon, and be Matt's anger translator for a day if you can somehow find this info.
Eric, unfortunately, you could have measured it in the time it took to write that email. And you don't have to tear it down and measure it. And if you think that I'm wrong, I know that I don't build wheels, but understand that you're going to be close enough. Like if you're unsure on your measurement, cheat one way and the other, and I bet the spoke length doesn't change. It'll be fine. Super Boost sucks. We're not a big fan of Pivot, but take a deep breath, break out your calipers. It's gonna be okay. I'll be your anger translator for today. Just it's okay.
No,
I
like I'm gonna take a little bit
like
opposite one. Yeah, I embrace this. This is good. I definitely would probably be friends with this person. So a couple things.
So what's going to... Hold on.
I had waited for this question, like, to give it to Kenny when he'd had, like, some whiskey.
What would piss you off more? Them not having the measurements? Or it's one of these weird, goofy-ass OE-only that maybe the specs have changed on over time or something, and then you order it off bad information?
That's the scary part, is there are a lot of weird OE things, or you don't realize that they do have one posted on the website, but, oh, fuck, they tricked you, and the 6-bolt and the center lock one are significantly different, which is a real thing sometimes. So a couple things. Matt's right. You can usually measure one. It's a little bit finicky, but you should be able to measure that thing fully laced up. Number two is I reverse engineer wheels all the fucking time. All you got to do, you might be able to find the spec of that rim hoop, like find the ERD. The ERD is sometimes printed on the actual rim hoop if it's a DT Swiss.
Not always on the system wheels, though.
Yep, not always. But what I'm getting at is if you just take one spoke out of each side, measure that spoke, and then if you have a measured ERD, you know, the ERD, whatever, and then you just subtract the two ERDs of the rims, and then you can just back out what the spoke length is. So, for example, if we'll just use some semi-round numbers, if your old ERD was 600 and your new ERD is 598 and you have two known spoke lengths, you've got a 2 millimeter ERD difference, divide that by two for the radius for a spoke, and you're 1 millimeter shorter per spoke, done.
Jesus Christ. Maths.
There you go.
Is it?
Do you want me to read Chris's question?
No, I can read this one. I just didn't know if, like, you were looking at something else. I didn't know if you had anything else to say.
Nah.
Because I think Kenny gave a very good explanation.
But I really like his anger. I think that's good. It's gonna take you places. So embrace that.
I think you could probably, you might be able to just let her, like, she could just ride it. And if she doesn't like the wheels on it, then take your anger out on the wheels, but I don't know, like, just ride it and see how long it lasts.
Can we talk about, because I want to piggyback off this gentleman's anger. What's with the inshittification of the internet? We have all this amazing technology. I've got a fucking iPhone 19 and a half with a fucking 16 core processor and shit, and I will open a web page and my phone will, like, get actually fucking hot and the website doesn't work for shit. Are you kidding me?
Because of all the ads and shit?
Yeah, it's goddamn ridiculous. Every fucking webpage is a pile of ass. Just,
it always gets
so
me because,
annoying.
Like, I have, you know, you have, like, ad blockers and stuff on your computer, like your home computer, but then you take out your phone and you look at the same website and you can't even fucking look at it because, like, an ad keeps popping up every time you scroll and, like, shit's covered up and the X to close it is so tiny that you just can't do it. Yeah.
I think the internet experience probably peaked in probably 2010-ish when people actually semi-cared about making a semi-efficient website and everything you were not fucking fully tracked until the end of time. It's just a shame. We've got such amazing equipment that all these screens are amazing. Processors are amazing. Internet's fast as fuck. And you still can't browse a goddamn web page.
Yeah.
Well, when I'm Supreme Leader.
Yeah, Kenny, you got to start, like, we haven't gotten any, you know, like, Kenny, when you're Supreme Leader, what will you do about this questions? We do need some of those.
You'll be, well, I mean, just a little hint. You will be required to submit your website for review. And if it doesn't load fast enough on my fucking phone, then
you're going to see so much porn.
Then, I mean, it's part of my job. But yeah.
Wait, as a bike shop manager or as Supreme Leader?
As Supreme Leader. And if your website fails the test, then you can't publish it.
All right.
Or actually, you know, that's a little bit draconian. I don't want to do that. That's going to be, if I want to make it a little bit more open-ended where people are a little bit scared. When we review websites, you can publish it. Publish that bitch right now. You know, I don't want there to be a bottleneck. Publish your website. And, you know, when I'm browsing, if I find your shit loads slow, then we're coming after you. So people are going to make some goddamn efficient websites. It'll be amazing.
All right. I'm going to read, we have two listener questions, but I want to keep one just in our pocket because, you know, it's going into winter and stuff.
Give the people what they want.
Stuff's getting a little slow.
Rally.
So I'm going to answer this one from Chris. I'm also thinking about you squirming around in your seat over there. So from Chris says, Andrea, can you talk about fishing out there in Colorado? Earlier this year, you mentioned it, but I would love to hear more. Are you using fly fishing gear or spinning gear? Obviously, you know this, but you live in a unique place in the world. Would love to hear more about it. I can say that I have never fly fished, though that is the widely popular, like overwhelmingly popular way to fish in rivers and alpine lakes. People do ice fishing here with spinning gear. They don't try to throw flies in the water when they're ice fishing, as far as I know. But yeah, if you're not ice fishing, fly fishing is the popular way to do it. I have done fishing with spinning gear in alpine lakes and had success and not much trouble. It works just fine. The pole that I use is the Eagle Claw Pack It. It's a collapsible pole. It comes with a reel on it. It's like a $20 rod and reel combo. It's super cheap. It's a little finicky sometimes, but yeah, I've caught a good number of trout out of a stout lake right above our house. Not right above, it's a few miles up there. But yeah, it works. If you're in the river, I've tried using the spinning stuff in the river and it hangs up on stuff a lot. That's like the thing you run into. So fly fishing gear is definitely more practical there. But if you're in deeper water, it really doesn't matter. And the bait that I've used for that is just that really, I don't know, ubiquitous, I think is the word, just the little feathery thing with a hook and a little spinny.
You realize every fly fisher in their house just lost their fucking mind that you're calling it the fuzzy thing?
No, I'm not talking about fly fishing. I'm talking about my spinner bait. Is just the super simple, like, it's a feathery thing that resembles a small, like a tadpole or a tiny bait fish when it's in the water, and it's got a little flashy spinny thing on it, and that they will go after that.
Don't all those things have like very specific names, and if you get them wrong, people get super mad, like it's a Ghibli pop or something like that?
I don't know if they care as much about...
My God, they do.
Okay. Well, I don't know the official name for these things.
It was a Ghibli pop.
I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Put a little... Yeah, you know, depending on like watercolor and what the fish are eating, they might bite like one color more than another. So I put a little like quick change doohickey, I don't even know what it's called, on my line so I can like try a few different ones and see which ones they like the best. And... yeah, that's been my strategy. But yeah, if you really want to like get out and fish in the rivers and stuff, you should try the fly fishing. And I think you can actually rent fly fishing gear and do a lesson or two like in Salida. So, you know, if that's not something that you already own, you can get that stuff while you're out here if you're going to make a whole experience out of it.
Is that why people like fishing? Is because no one has any fucking idea what's going on?
Maybe.
A lot of people have an idea of what's going on. And if you are coming out here and you want to do a fishing trip and you want a guide, then reach out, because I have a customer friend that's a guide and he's been nothing but an absolute gem of a customer. I'd love to send some people his way.
There you go. But pretty much everywhere along the Arkansas River from, I don't know.
Nope, you need a guide. You have to get it.
You do need to look up the rules and regulations, like the... if you're going to keep anything, I think in the Arkansas River, you can't actually, it's all catch and release.
We've been over this before, I think, but why the fuck, what the fuck's the Arkansas River doing in Colorado?
I don't know. Why does the Mississippi River called the Mississippi when the Mississippi and the Missouri come together? The Missouri is the like more dominant waterway and the Mississippi should be called the Missouri, but it's not. I don't know.
I agree. I don't like it. I don't like any of these water names. We need to come up with a new system.
I don't think we should rename any large bodies of water because we saw how that went.
That's true. Good point. Point taken. In all seriousness, like I'm not, I'm not good with the old geography here, but my little pea brain would think that if the Arkansas River does go through, in fact, both Arkansas and Colorado... Colorado is probably a little bit...
It starts in Colorado and finishes in Arkansas.
Probably a little bit higher than Arkansas, right?
Yeah, but there's already a Colorado River, too.
Oh, so that's why they did it? They just had to, like, go down the line?
Fuck if I know.
All right. And Chris, if you do come out this way specifically and you want to do alpine lake fishing, and if you wanted to make it, like, a really cool trip, I will say the place that I have gone and... caught plenty of fish. It's a pretty stout hike to get up there, but it's really amazing, and there's lots of really good camping like right along the trail and not far from the lake. So, you know, I can help you with that. But if it's river fishing, I know any fishing from Salida to, I don't know how far down people fly fish.
It's like, all catch and release is my understanding.
Yeah, it's all catch and release, but I'm not as familiar with that fishing as I am with the lake that's closest to my house, but I can definitely give you some, you know, more specific advice based on where you want to go fishing. Either go get a guide or I'll show you how to get to the lake that I like.
Is in all seriousness,
the Arkansas River.
I know nothing about fishing.
I'm going to educate you right now.
Is catch and release like fairly common, or is that like a common river thing?
It's pretty common. A lot of people, and some people just don't, even if you can catch them, a lot of people don't like how trout tastes. So, you know, a lot of people catch and release.
All right. I'm going to drop some knowledge on you. Arkansas River is 1,450 miles long. The mouth lays at 10,000 feet just outside of Leadville, flowing east-southeast through Colorado, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas, where it joins the Mississippi River. Let's see. I'm reading this a little bit out of order. The native name or indigenous American name for the Arkansas River was the Napestee. But with further expansion of European exploration, the name Arkansas was appointed the official name as it meets the Mississippi River in the state of Arkansas.
Well, we should have kept it the Napestee.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
We'll just start calling it that and just confuse people.
There you go.
All right. I think that's enough. I think we should read patrons and shut it down.
Speaking of shutting it down.
Are you going to make an early?
I think I am.
Okay.
Sorry. Bye.
All right. I'm going to read patrons. At $10 a month or more, we've got Kurt, Timothy, Taylor, Zwift, Skunk in Your Trap, Jim the Fucked Up Trike Guy, Samuel, Bearded Bag O'Dix, Zozo, Eric, Burt Reynolds Mustache, Taperbore Pro, My Pal Dal, MTB Shenanigans, Gabe, Cam Irish One, Z, Tennessee Zach, Green Giant, AJ, Leland, Matt McCulley Ball Fund, currently half off, Ride Time Extended, JC, Gordon, Josh, Fart Noises, Tom's, P, Ryan, Bill, Aaron, Mike, Who, Cheese, Harry, Ty, _, Noah, Cool Beans, Barrel of Dicks, Oliver, Close Off, Frank the Tank, Tom, that's Tom Pickle, Chunk Norris, Epstein Island, Bike Trails, and Pizza Buffet.
Easy.
Patamillan Disco at 14 Australian, Dean at 16.50 Australian, and at $20 a month, we've got Brian, Scott, Joe, I Want a Mustache Ride from Burt Reynolds, Poop Wrench, Andrea Presents, Bambi's Mom on Ice at $26.06 per month, Harley at 30, Troy at 31, and Six Pack Outdoors, We're Touched by the Tism, Powered by Tylenol at 50. We've got some good patron names in there.
I agree.
Bambi's mom on ice. Bambi's mom is on ice right now in the freezer. All right, everyone. Matt's gone. Kenny, you got anything else?
Nope. Shut it down.
All right, everyone. Thank you all for listening and good night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along Show.